You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hi, and welcome to Let's Hear It with Trainer. I am your host, Ryan Trainer. And before we get started, we have some sponsors. Audible.com is a sponsor of this episode, and Audible is the leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks and other audio products. Users can sign up as an Audible listener, which gives them book credits each month at a very low monthly fee. Customers download their choice and can access them using their phone, Android, Fire tablet, iPod, or any other MP3 player. So if you want a free 30-day free trial, your first audiobook is free. Go to audible.com/Detroit or text Detroit to 500-500 and get a free 30-day trial. So you can also get all these episodes of the Let's Hear It podcast with Trainer on my website. That's trainerpodcast.com, T-R-A-I-N-O-R, podcast.com. And yeah, so today on my show here, I have two very good guests that I'm very, very excited to talk to. We have Joey and Mitch from the Bare Bones.
Woo! So,
welcome, guys.
The Barely Boners. Is this a family-friendly podcast? Can I say Barely Boners?
You can say whatever you want. Right. The more vulgar, the better, I would say. Okay. So.
But crap.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. gotta get the bleep guy.
Yeah. I think they might have something like that, but I don't even want to mess with that. So
get a whole soundboard.
Yeah. You know, we can have fart noises and stuff.
Sure.
So let's just kind of start with some basic stuff. Like, how'd you guys meet and, like, get this kind of, you know, ball rolling and stuff?
We met in freshman English. We had Mrs. Bryce at Churchill. And
shout out to Churchill.
Shout out to Mrs. Bryce. She was great. She was blind, more or less. And, yeah, so – We didn't know that we met each other. We didn't interact really much in that class, but that was our first exposure to one another. I would sleep through the whole class.
No.
And you
and still get the best grades.
Yeah, well, I would,
you hate those kind of people. You're like, what the hell?
I would perk up for the tests and stuff, you know.
Yeah. You gotta kind of be, you know, in the know a little bit, so.
Yeah, yeah. And then I don't know, how did we start hanging out?
We were both interested in music.
Sure.
And that's pretty much how we made that connection.
Yeah, we were both — were you playing in bands? I was in
kind
a band
of, yeah,
like right out the gate, like right at the start of high school. And then you were in bands even through like middle school and stuff. You had Subnormal.
Well, it was nothing that, like, we weren't playing shows
or anything.
Yeah,
it was just —
but you knew
in
that
the basement.
Just okay,
but you knew that there was someone in your English class who was in a band playing shows, and so, like, somehow we must have bridged the gap there, and
right,
like, you must have — one of us must have approached the other person to say, like, "Hey, let's hang out." I remember the first time we ever hung out — this is not related to how we first started jamming or anything. You were over at my dad's house. It was you, me, and Nick Michaels. We were boiling some water for late night macaroni and cheese.
Nice.
And Mitch was lying down on the floor for some reason, just on his back. And I was like, "We got to wait till the water's boiling before we can put the pasta in." And Mitch burped out, "It's boiling." Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
So that's how Bare Bones started.
That's how Bare Bones started.
In that moment. Yeah.
So how is that, you know — and I've never really talked with musicians, but it's like always been a question of mine when you see somebody that does, you know, a different instrument or just obviously something in the music, like, don't you feel like you have to be playing with each other? You know, like, is that kind of like the first thing you think about when you, like, see someone that, like, plays or sings or does something like that?
I think especially if you are in, like, a small community of people where,
yeah,
like, if you're, you know, the older you get, the more people you meet that do those things. So it's like, now I'm to a point where it's not like every person I meet that plays drums or plays guitar or sings or whatever, it's not like I seek that person out and say, like, "Hey, let's jam." Because then I'd just wouldn't be able to walk down the street without jamming with 15 people.
Exactly.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in a confined space, like an English classroom or in a high school, you know, for a slightly larger context, but still limited. Yeah. You seek those people out, I'd say.
So what, really made you guys want to, you know, start this band? Is it just because you want to, you know, get an audience, like, you know, talk to people about it, you know, because everyone, even, you know, you play an instrument and stuff, you can play it in your basement, you can be really good. It takes an extra step to actually go out there and do that in the world. So why'd you guys want to start the band that way?
I think 100% of it is just wanting to make music that we like.
Yeah.
And anything else beyond that is a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it that extra step, though, it's an interesting question, because like if really it was 100% just wanting to make music we like, then we would just do it entirely in our basement.
Yeah.
So there's got to be like some small percentage that then has us taking it to the next level and like wanting to at least share it with other people. It's like, I don't know. There's got to be something there. And I don't know exactly what it is, if it's like what that urge to show other people your music is.
And to like, you know, perform and stuff like that. Yeah. That's like – being on stage in front of, you know, any amount of people, I mean, you could be the best in, you know, singing, guitar, whatever, but like that's a whole different thing, you know. Did that ever come like easy for you guys, like playing in front of people? Or do you guys still think that's kind of like something you're, you know, growing
I still
on?
Get nervous.
Yeah.
And I had the luxury of hiding behind a drum kit, you know, like I don't sing, I never have in a band or anything. So like I have like the least excuses as far as being like, you know, saying that I ever get nervous, but still I get nervous.
Yeah. But it's especially being a drummer, it's like a drummer is so dynamic and, you know, you're obviously bashing around everywhere. I mean, to do that in front of people too, and especially singing as well.
Yeah, I can't imagine like the balls that has to take.
Yeah.
See, I've never been able to understand. I would never be able to do that.
Yeah. But that takes a whole other kind of skill, you know what I mean? So. Do you feel more comfortable? Like, have you like been noticing that, like playing in front of people and like singing and stuff?
Somewhat. It's very, very slight.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Because how long have you been singing in bands? Like, what was the first band that you sang in?
Well, I started like learning singing while I was learning guitar. So it's like since I was like 12 years old. But
wow,
as far as like
time.
As far as actually like being in front of people, it's been
different.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. What do you guys like? What are like the next steps you're trying to see like with Bare Bones? Are you guys trying to hit more of like a certain part of like Detroit? Do you guys want to tour? Do you guys like want to do stuff like, you know, bigger and better and stuff like that? So
yeah, it's been a slow burn for us. We do have plans right now to do a short little tour. We hooked up with this band that played with us just at a local venue in Hamtramck. They were on the road. They're from Brooklyn.
Oh, cool.
They're called Castle Black. Shout out to Castle Black.
Cool.
And it just so happened that on an upcoming tour that the lead singer of that band, she's booking, their drummer can't go with them. So she was just telling me like she was stressed out about it. Like I got to find a fill-in drummer. And I was like, oh, I can do that if you let Bare Bones tag along. So yeah, so that's in the works. It's going to be like end of October, early November. So we got 2 weeks where we'll go just, I think, as far west as Milwaukee. So just do a quick stop over there. And then the rest of it's east. We'll like just kind of go along like the eastern seaboard, more or less. So that's something. So that's a pretty good next step for us. I don't think we've ever.
Yeah.
We've never played an out-of-state show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, literally playing, you know, in front of strangers now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like you're probably not going to run into someone you know, but it's like. I think that's interesting, especially since that's what, you know, people in the business do. They tour, you know, do all that stuff. And to kind of take on that challenge must be pretty exciting. So
yeah.
What's it like with like meeting other bands? Like how have you guys been like doing that? Like just reaching out to people, like trying to do shows with them and stuff like that?
Pretty much just playing shows with people, and then everybody is like very nice afterwards, and everybody wants to support each other and whatnot.
There's
and
also, no, oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Is there any like competition or anything like that, like in between like bands
and
stuff?
Like it's competitive.
Yeah.
I don't think at this level there's anyone
battle bands, you know?
No, yeah, unless it was an explicit thing like that, which we haven't done.
Yeah, I feel like at this level, everybody feels like they're not very good.
Yeah.
Right.
So want to like kind of like try to.
Yeah,
it's pat
everyone
each other.
Right.
Yeah, you do good, I do good. You know, we all do good. So. Yeah. But what is like the scene in like Detroit, especially with like, you know, I know like generalizing music or picking a topic, like your guys' style is like metal core kind of. That's like
we usually just go with rock, but I don't know enough about musical subgenres to say what it is. It's probably something besides just rock.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like it's like mainly like rock, and then just got like a taste of like punk and metalish
mm-hmm.
polka.
Polka. Wait, I didn't get that joke. But is that, you know, because you're only kind of playing into those, you know, that type of crowd, though.
Right.
You know, it's not like you're going to like rap shows or anything like that. Yeah, but yeah.
We would.
Yeah, you would.
We'd play wherever they have us.
Exactly. See, there's that fearless mentality. So,
sure.
What's it like being in like that kind of scene, though? Is it like really cool, like kind of seeing it on the other side instead of just being a fan, you know?
Yeah. Well, even to go back to like how like networking with other bands and stuff, like it's funny because Mitch and I think are both pretty what's the word where you don't like to talk to people?
Like introverted.
Introverted, yeah. Thank you. We're very introverted people, so it's difficult for us to like network with other bands and stuff. And so as far as like knowing the scene really well.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like the best we can do is like get a little buzz on so we can like talk to people a little better. And you start with at least like, hey man, good show. And then like if they are good at talking, then they can kind of help move the conversation forward and like help network, which then ties back into what you were saying about just understanding the scene and stuff. And so like our understanding of the scene is based on those like relationships we have with people and with other bands and stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. So, because I think, you know, especially like at the level you guys are at, it's like you need to have other bands. So, you know, you have a full show and stuff. And
right.
You kind of get more people come into all of them. Was that Hamtramck show your first one doing live for with the Bare Bones? Is that.
We've been playing shows for how long now?
Been a band for like 3 years, and we've probably only been playing shows for like a half of that, like a year and a half or so.
Okay.
Really?
I think so. Maybe.
Yeah, we have to fact check that. But it's about. Like, we definitely did practice for a while and write songs before we started playing shows. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was a year and a half. I'll give you a year.
Maybe.
I'll give you a year.
You think so?
I'd have to sit down with the calendar and remember. So I would
feel better about that if it was only been a year that we've been playing shows.
No, I was saying that we started playing after a year from the time of our conception.
Okay.
We've definitely been playing shows for more than a year, and I was saying more than a year and a half probably.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what's – I just had this. What's it like, you know, what's your creative process with this? And that's – like on this podcast that I do, I really like talking to creative people, you know, music, you know, photography, film, like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always like kind of what – you know, it was ticking behind, you know, in your head and stuff. So do you guys collaborate, obviously, with just like, well, obviously you probably have to, but like, what's your creative process like?
Pretty much I just write the guitar.
Yeah.
I show it to him. And then once that all comes together, just a melody comes to mind and mm-hmm. I write lyrics to that and that's about it.
Yeah. Do you always like cross reference, be like, does this sound good? You'd be like, no, that sounds
stupid.
Oh,
yeah. 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 Which is,
I think that'd be so, you know, interesting. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, to be a fly on the wall to see how Mitch and I compose a song. It's usually pretty democratic, you know, like it's a democratic process in that like best idea wins. But I mean, with only two people, it becomes pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have a lot of, chefs in the kitchen. You know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, Mitch comes to like the songwriting process like with pretty fully formed ideas as far as like riffs go.
Yeah.
Just and, guitar though.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll work on sometimes even like structure, like of ordering of parts. But like a lot of times you even have a really good idea as to how like, you know, how the parts fit together and stuff. But then like adding layer by layer, like hearing the song come to kind of start to breathe life is very, you know, it's a very fun process.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Going from hearing a riff and then adding drums to it. And then a lot of times I won't even hear the singing. Like we're recording three new songs right now in the studio.
Okay.
And I haven't heard Mitch even like do mock vocals over them to like for me to even hear what the melody is going to sound like. So the first time I'm hearing what these songs sound like fully formed is like in the studio after having played them instrumentally for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. So it's it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like Mitch gets to hear that in his head the whole time because he's like developing a melody and lyrics maybe and stuff. But to me, it's just like, especially with like I'm used to playing like metal songs and stuff where like a lot of it is very instrumentally focused. Like mm-hmm. a lot of my musical upbringing has been just like metal and grind and
exactly,
stuff where it's
yeah.
like the lyrics are kind of like an afterthought and the vocals are all just kind of like haphazard. Mm-hmm. But with this, it's like it's quite a bit more musical and like instrumentally the parts can be more repetitive just because it's in the style just like by because of the style of music it is, like lyrics are meant to stand out more. You
yeah,
know, like
exactly.
rock music where it's singing and not screaming.
yeah.
You know, so it's just interesting to hear it all come together when it does.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like, I mean, you can keep it obviously private if you want, but is there any like meaning to like your music, or you just think of like good stuff to, you know, jam out to, or like lyrics wise, I guess, you know, because I never understand like writing a song. I always think that's so like
it's very interesting to
you know?
Me as well. Yeah. So. From a lyrics point of view.
I think I tried to make a song once when I was like really little, and I was like, yeah, "It's pretty sweet." And then uh-huh. you like show it to somebody, and you're like, "Wow, it sounds so bad." yeah. But it's like cool when you see people actually make it good, you know. And it's like, I just how does that work for you, Mitch? Like,
as far as lyrics, it's usually just like once I think of a melody in my head, I just think of words that will fit with that. Just. Anything that sounds like somewhat poetic.
Yeah.
Like whatever just like reads cool to me. And then it's not really like I don't sit down and like think of anything like thematically.
Yeah.
It's just like words that sound cool together. And then eventually I can like go back to it and like find meaning of it.
Okay. So it's not like, oh, I just broke up with my girlfriend or
yeah,
you know, I lost my job.
Yeah,
it's like,
never, like sit down and just think like I'm going to write about like. Barack Obama.
Exactly. Yeah. But like to me and like to other people, I think that's kind of the stereotypical like songwriter, you know, it's like Tom Petty or something where they're like, yeah,
yeah.
man, I was
yeah.
like laying on like the grass and I just thought
yeah.
of this thing.
Like,
I
yeah.
went through this sun, like, you know,
writing a song about like smoking weed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nothing like that for me. I
wonder what the proportion of, cause I, there are songwriters that like, that's a common enough way that like, it's not like totally unheard of, right? But
no,
I wonder what the proportion is. Like how many people sit down with a nugget of an idea of like what the song is going to be about lyrics wise versus the people who do it like kind of more rhythmically and melodically like you do.
I feel like a lot of songs are like a very specific idea.
Yeah, like a
and
formula.
There are a lot of
you
good
know?
Songs mm-hmm. that have that specific idea, but that's just not typically how I like to do it.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's cool because I mean, you even with like pop songs and stuff like that, you know, like a lot of those singers and stuff are having other people write that. So
mm-hmm.
they don't even care what's on there, you know,
right.
like you got a good voice and we just want you to do this. So
yeah. Yeah.
It could have meaning or just nothing. And you know, and people like that and it sounds good, but
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what has been like your influence in like music in general?
Like specific bands?
Yeah,
or?
Like just kind of going back to like how you guys, you know, started. You guys been playing obviously instruments and music stuff for a long time, pretty much most of your life, I would think, right?
Right,
yeah.
So it's like what kind of got you into that?
Nirvana for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest
yeah.
between,
shared
yeah, that's the mutual,
thread
yeah.
between us. Most yeah, it's a very thick
influence.
Highway that yeah. connects us is
Nirvana?
The Nirvana connection.
Nirvana for sure.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
Because that's like, you know, yeah, so many, pretty much so many people are music fans and all that. But again, it takes that extra step when you hear something you like and you're like, I want to, you know, play guitar or play drums, you know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
it's like, that's where, you know, we're all different here in that sense. Like, I mean, yeah, I love Nirvana, but I did try to play one song once and I was like, after an hour trying to learn, I think it was The Man Who Sold the World.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I just don't have the patience for this.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, that's probably a trickier one as a, like as far as a first song goes,
yeah,
like, it smells like Teen Spirit. That's got to be the first one that you learn.
Exactly. So
yeah, it's funny that saying just on its face that we both have that common shared interest of Nirvana like doesn't
yeah.
do it justice because like I mean millions of people like Nirvana.
Yeah,
but
they're
like,
super popular.
Yeah, yeah exactly. Yeah. So just yeah. to emphasize, just to underline, just can't add any words to it to really emphasize it. So just to say it again, just
yeah.
Nirvana is a very very, very much, you know, an influence on a lot
yeah.
of the music that's ever come out of either of us.
But especially that era, though. I mean, that was such its own thing, and especially Nirvana, and they just did whatever the hell they want, and they got so famous, you
mm-hmm.
know? And obviously, like, Kurt Cobain was such a unique guy, and I could only think it just inspired a lot of people that way, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
So, but do you guys, like, how do you do, like, how do you perfect, like, your skills? Like, do you believe in, like, practicing all the time, like, just to keep up on your music skills?
I wish I did that more. It's rare that I find myself just, like, in my apartment just, like, playing drums. Yeah. But whenever I do that, like, if I spend some time kind of, you know, honing my chops or whatever, then the next practice, like, does go, at least in my mind, you know, more smoothly.
Yeah.
So I wish I did that more. But, like, with drums, for me at least, it was, like, there was a very steep learning curve when you first learn. And then, like, after you get to a certain point, then all your chops building just comes from, like, playing in bands.
Yeah.
So, like, that's really been, like, the extent of my practice since I got to that point. It was just, like, going to band practice and playing the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's enough practice. But I, like, now I'm kind of, like, slowly, I think, getting back into, like, practicing at home because I can, like, you know, finely tune some things that I don't have the opportunity to do at practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like because, you know, with every skill, you got to push that envelope and you want to get your skills better. So
right.
That's like, you know, like you said, you can put a few more minutes and you'd get better, obviously. But yeah, how does that go with you, Mitch? Like, do you practice singing a lot? Do you practice your guitar a lot? Or?
I don't practice singing very much. But as far as guitar, I've been very disappointed with, like, the plateau I've been in for, like, the past, like, 3 years.
Like, it's just can't been, like, get to that extra level,
yeah,
you know
it's
what
just
I mean?
Like, I've been the same guitar player for the past, like, few years. So I actually just started taking guitar lessons.
Really?
Yeah.
So is that it's like obviously working with somebody that, you know, it's
a lot
weird
more
saying,
advanced than myself.
Yeah. And that's like what's interesting with like I think people that, you know, play instruments and stuff like that. It's if you know how to play, there's obviously good and bad people and stuff like that. But it's kind of weird to say like someone's just so much better than you in a way. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I always because it's like if you can play drums and everyone always has their style, you know, it's like. You're going to play it Mitch way, you know, you're playing it Joey way. And it's like everyone has that and people can imitate it. But yeah, I just thought that was, you know, it's kind of an interesting to think about of like, you know, is this person better than me? Maybe I do it differently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's kind of like when you're really in it, like from someone who doesn't play any, like if you don't play drums at all, then you see like me versus someone who to me is like the best drummer in the world. Like
yeah.
that. The person who doesn't play drums might be like, those are the same skill, like they're at the same skill level. But to the person who's in it, like I can more easily distinguish between someone who's like good and very good and extremely good. But like if you're outside of that, you probably don't see that as easily.
Yeah. What has been like the since it's so different, I guess going back to like Nirvana and stuff, where you had to be on TV, you would have to, you know, get so many type like different types of buzz now. Like, what do you guys think about with like social media and like having a band? It's like, has it been easier for you to get the word out and like talking to people?
Because
it's totally different now. Like promoting yourself as a band, you know,
there's just so much content,
so much shit.
Yeah.
Also, like, there's nothing really good for music specifically.
Mm-hmm.
MySpace was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's how everyone got their music out there, was able to like put their lyrics on, put the shows, communicate with their fans. It was like an all-in-one platform. As funny as it is to like commend MySpace for anything, because it's just like laughable now because it's an old social media platform, but like for what
music,
it did for
it
music,
fucking sweet for
yeah,
music.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's how 50 Cent started. It's, you know, he's a rapper, but that he got
was that how
all,
he started?
I mean, not how he started, but his from my understanding, and again, I don't know the whole thing about it, but it's like from my understanding because he just hit that perfect time to put out his content on MySpace. He just blew up from it.
Really?
Know? So that's a little information I know, I guess.
Yes, we're both. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the music was a lot more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you just go on a page, your music starts playing.
Yeah.
Whereas like Facebook, you have to do all this fucking like digging.
Yeah.
You have to find ways to like embed a player on your face. Like it's doable, but like even when it's done right, it's not as good as MySpace was. Where
yeah.
like you would literally just go to the URL and music would just start playing.
Yeah, yeah. Like this is my band, check them out.
Yeah.
You know?
So now you have to go through whatever route, like either like send them a Bandcamp link or say like, oh, we're on Spotify. But then that's just even the one extra step of like the person has to now search. Not only do they have to go to your Facebook page to find out what you look like, then they have to go to your Bandcamp to find out when you're playing, then they have to go to Spotify to find out what you sound like. It's
yeah.
just like it's not you know, it's spread out. And with every extra step, you just lose like some percentage of people. Like yeah. they see your Facebook and then they're like, okay, cool. That's what they look like. And then they don't get to hear you and then get to find out what, you know, when you're playing. So they're not going to take the extra step to search you anywhere else.
I know. It's not easy to get people to give a shit.
It's so sad when you like, when you have something you're doing and if it's like, you know, podcasting or a band and you like tell someone, if it's not like said in a sentence, that might even be too long.
Right.
It's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're like, I don't have an iPhone. I have an Android.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, just Google it. Yeah. Something should pop up. So
that's also tricky for us, too, because there was a band that existed like 10 years ago or something that had the same name as us. And so they still come up before us because even though we've been a band for 3 years, we just still haven't taken over the threshold.
There's nothing you can really do about that.
You just got to be smart about like search engine optimization and stuff, which we're both idiots with anything, period. But then also as far as it comes to like computer stuff and then more specifically – like social media, like we both don't know how any of that works. So we're introverted, so we can't talk to people in person. We're dumb, so we can't talk to people on the internet. We just need like someone. We need a manager.
And that's where you're like your next step is. Yeah. You want to get help in those corners because you're musicians. You guys focus on your art and your music, and then you're like, I have to do all this other shit and all this like jumping through hoops, and then. You'll see other people that have like gone through this row and they're just like, you're gonna have to deal with all this stuff. So yeah. But I just think it's so cool now that people can, you know, that's how I obviously found out about you guys too, since, you know, it's like we're friends on Instagram and then it's like I see you're in this band and all that, and it's like sometimes it can be easy, but yeah, I know sometimes it can be really complicated.
Yeah.
Especially when people just start things up randomly and you get kind of lost in that like sea of just content, you know?
Right.
So
right.
You're just like trying to find that little hole to just like, that's us.
Yeah. It's just the probability of like anything like real and big coming from such a massive sea of content is so low. Whereas like before there were that many options and that many bands and that much content, like there was a more, maybe the probability was still low, but not as low because like the path was more direct. Like how you go from being just a band to like getting a record deal to going on tour. Like I feel like it might've been a little bit more cut and dry even like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys looking into that too? Like, you know, maybe getting on a record label or something like that?
I was just thinking, so yesterday we were at a show, not our show, just a friend's show.
Okay.
And I was thinking that it would be funny to like start a mock record label just for fun.
Right?
But just like that didn't do anything. But just to see how like chomping at the bit local bands are to like accept any deal. Mm-hmm. Like, just go up to a band and be like, hey, I've got a record label. Like you want to – like it's a small indie label, whatever. And then just like I'm sure people would say – and then that got me to think – like, okay, like I bet if someone came up to us and said that, we'd be like, let's do it.
Where do I sign?
We just like pay them $100 a month and they just like
– my social security number is this.
They just like buy like iTunes plays for us and we're like, man, we're on a record label. Not like,
I mean, you can – it's cool now with like how – like we – it is complicated, but it's like – you can do that, you know. You could make your own thing. Not saying if that's something you'd want to do.
It's not. No. Exactly. It was more just like a joke in my head. Yeah.
But what have you guys been like approached by anybody or like talked to anyone? Or you just kind
of Sony, Gaffin,
all of those.
Yeah,
just turned them
down. Yeah, sure. We want.
I'm a real artist. I don't buy into that.
I just. But you know, I just it's. It's a tough thing to, you know, be in a band because you want to obviously get attention some ways, but it's like, you know, you don't want to be douchey about it, you know, and you just want to play good music, you know. There's like it's just like a tricky kind of thing, at least when I think about it. So, do you guys just think like doing shows and just kind of getting the word out there? That's like kind of the process you're going to be going through right now.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we got right now.
Yeah.
really selling it.
Hey, you're on a podcast, okay?
That's all we got.
This is going out live to thousands. Well, maybe
tens
not.
Tens of people.
But, so it's just more or less like kind of the local scene and stuff like that, like, you know, talking with other bands and all that. So
right.
See, if we were smarter, we'd have a better answer. We'd have like a business plan, like how we're going to like – like right now we have 100 followers. How are we going to get to 150? How are we going to get to 300? How are we? But we don't. We just I play think, shows. We just like mostly don't even book our own shows. Just like get added on to shows and do what networking we can in person.
Yeah,
which is like admittedly somewhat minimal, mm-hmm. and then sell shirts and stickers and CDs at those shows to like hope that if we can't like personally make a connection with potential new fans, that maybe if they're like intrigued enough by our you know, by our music, that maybe they'll buy something that then they take home and then they remember us, and then they next time we play a show they'll ask, you know, a couple friends to come, you know, the mm-hmm. whole exponential growth thing, like, you know, if this person likes it then they bring two friends and they each bring two friends and then they each bring that.
See, yeah. That's the math in you coming
out. Oh, yeah. can't hide it.
But what do you get? So playing live, I should have brought this up probably in the beginning, but it's like playing live, like, do you guys – does that, like, fulfill you in a lot of ways as, like, musicians? You guys, like, look forward to that or
– Oh, it feels fucking great.
Yeah, that must be so cool. I mean,
it is awesome.
Yeah.
That's why I think we as dumb and like short-sighted as it might seem, like the reason that we don't have any kind of like grand ideas as to like where to take the band the next, like we kind of just like plan that whatever by ear, just because we do get so much out of writing and playing music. Like,
yeah.
We personally get so much out of it. Like, it's very cathartic. Like, it's like a huge release just to let all that shit out, you know, playing live or even playing at practice. I get so much out of it.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's like, and that's why I knew it would be good talking to you guys, because I could kind of tell with that you had that drive of just, like, you know, performing your stuff. Mm-hmm. And it is really cool when you can do that in any aspect of, you know, if it's sports or, you know, music and all that. Like, I feel like the people that are, you know, true in that sense always want to – and, yeah, whatever level it is, it doesn't matter. It's like you just want to put it out there and, mm-hmm. like, show people that you can do this, you know. And that's, like, I always think really inspiring and cool. So what venues, like, around here are you got – like, would you guys, like, want to play at that you are kind of looking for? Like, St. Andrews, like, stuff like that or –
That would be like a pipe dream almost.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Yeah, I could see you guys up there, you know?
Most realistically, I would love to play at Ella Club.
Oh, yeah, that's a good, like, mid-sized venue that, like, when cool acts come to town, they play there.
Yeah. All right. Ella Club is sweet.
Where's that at? Like, I don't even know that place.
It's in southwest Detroit.
Yeah. Okay. Born and raised in southwest Detroit. No, I was about to say that. It just went through my head. I'm like,
what is that, a lyric or something? Or you just wanted to say it?
I just wanted to say it.
Did you just write that?
Yeah, see? You guys are just, like, you know, rubbing off on me. Yeah. So.
You should probably start a band.
Yeah. I think I will. All right. We're going to go on tour together, and we'll bring podcasts and stuff. And,
So. Do the whole thing.
So, yeah, what's the next show for you guys? Like, when's that coming up?
We're at the Blind Pig October 3rd.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it's a little ways out, but... A
little bit ways.
Yeah.
But this band from Denver just was, like, digging through, like, shows in this local area, and they found us, and they really liked us, and so that's why they
reached out to you?
That's the second time we've had, like, a cold call from a band. That's how I met Castle Black, which is the band that we're hopefully going to be going on that tour with. They just, like, searched through, like, local bands, and just, like, they were like, hey, they just, like... Just randomly emailed us, like, not through any kind of, like, you know, like a Facebook or anything. They just, like, found our email and was like, hey, we found your music, liked you. So that's how we get a couple I mean, yeah, that always feels good.
It starts.
It's like they had to go out of their way to find us.
Yeah.
So that's,
See, just what we talked about, where there is a lot to get through, you know, it can happen and people can reach out to you and stuff. And it just takes that one time, because that must have been weird. You must have been like, what? Like,
is this
a prank call or like an email, whatever it is. You know, it's very interesting when you actually, you know, get those wins and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, feels good for sure.
Awesome. Well, I guess explain then, how can people, you know, find you and stuff like
MySpace.
That? MySpace. MySpace?
Yeah. I wish.
Exactly. So,
we have all our music on, like, the obvious channels. Like, we've got stuff on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon Music, YouTube. We have live videos even. And we have a Bandcamp. And then as far as shows go, we actually have a website, barebonesmi.com.
There you go.
Which has everything, pictures, videos, shows. contacts, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So barebonesmi.com is probably the most succinct. It's close to MySpace as we could get.
Exactly.
The domain was taken, MySpace.com.
So. do you guys – this is kind of a side note here. Do you plan on making like music videos after you just brought up the YouTube thing?
That's been in the works for so long. We haven't,
I think that would be cool to see.
It hasn't happened yet. But yeah, we've got two promising music video makers.
Yep.
None of them have materialized yet. But really I think that just is a testament to our – inability to lock anything down. We're dumb and lazy, and all we'd have to do is just.
Well, we both work a lot.
Yeah, so exactly. Like we're doing you guys probably have a lot of stuff.
We're not just like sitting around, just like eating mac and cheese, just like not doing what we're supposed to be. Like, yeah, at least functioning adults.
Yeah, exactly. You do have to have the professional and then other stuff, and yeah, life happens. So
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they, you know, people should check out your website, and we're going to play a song, Red Potion. So we're going to close that out with that. So do you guys have anything else to say before we wrap this up?
Thank you very much for having us on.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for the coming. PBR.
Yeah, anytime, man. And you guys, if you ever want to come back and do this, you know, in a couple months, you're always welcome.
Tomorrow, so we'll be back.
All right, so we'll be here. Just watch out for traffic, so.